Now, if you've been with us so far throughout this, we've been looking at several different aspects of DSC, getting it up and getting it going. And the last one was pretty chewy with all of the infrastructure stuff of your pull service. But we're going to step away from that now. And as you get comfortable with setting up your pull environment and that kind of thing, your mind is going to want to start to shift to, what can I do with this now?
Hey, so, and before we get too far, I just want to switch to my machine and remind people, for those of you just coming in, so all the scripts and all the slides are available to you, and here's what you do. You just say, find module MVA, and you'll see these two modules, and then you pipe it to install module. That will then bring those down, and then what you're able to do is then you can say, show MVA examples or slides. So show the examples, and we're on day one. Whoa, what was that? I hit the wrong character. Oh, you know what it was? It was this little puppet was sliding down.
Oh, did it?
He was messing things up. Okay, so show MVA DSC examples, day one module. What module are we on, Jason?
Number five,
and it will then bring up all the examples for you. So again,
that is so wickedly cool. I should be using that now. I wouldn't screw up so much.
Yeah. So go download that, and you can join along with us.
Now, a couple of other quick notes, though, because some people have been mentioning this. You're watching Jeffrey and I do this install module kind of thing. We're using WMF5, the February preview. And so we started out this morning by having you go out and grab the WMF5 preview as well. If you're not using that, you can go out to the PowerShell gallery and grab it from there right on the website. So we want to use the new stuff in here. So just keep in mind we're using WMF preview 5, and that's why we may have some things that you don't, but you can have it too. So let's get started. Take a look. We're in module 5, our resource roundup, and here's what we're going to do is we're going to take you through a quick tour of the resources that came in the box and then give you some ideas of things that are out of the box. So we'll start with some of the built-in resources, show you some quick examples. We'll be doing these by push, and then talk about adding additional resources. We already mentioned earlier where you got them. We want to talk about it again and just show you the beautiful list of additional resources you can start to work with, and then some notes about getting them added to a pull server. And we're gonna start off with working with the built-in resources. And Jeffrey, you mentioned this earlier, in the box originally it was 12. I think we have a few more, like up to 16, that kind of got updated into 4.0.
And
then we have additional resource kit ones that we'll talk about later. But the ones that came in the box, people are like, well, you only gave me 12 resources. But they were really some really cool resources that you can get to start to work with.
Yep.
I think one of the cool things, because you had mentioned this yesterday or something, that one of the cool things about this is when, for an IT pro, you got to let your mind kind of start to imagine the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we're looking at these resources, now it's like, what is it that you want to configure? And you kind of go, well, I want to do this. Is it possible to do this? And the answer is, it's going to be possible. Do you have the resources to work with? And if not, we'll talk about adding those kind of things on, right? So the built-in ones, we've got some to get started with here. And if you guys want to take a look at my machine real quick, I'm going to bring up just as a quick reminder, when you want to get a resource, I'm going to grab a particular resource, a file resource, expand its properties. But really one of my favorite things is to look at the syntax. And if you're working with PowerShell V4 and you're working with DSC on that, this works really well for you. And it gives you the syntax for it. This becomes part of your code, so it helps you out quite a bit. But now with V5, if you have the resource in there, and I don't know why I'm going to sit here and type this. I already have one written out.
So if you haven't, if you had downloaded my module.
Oh, if I had downloaded it. You guys want to show his machine?
Yeah,
there you go.
So if you had downloaded my module, then when you bring in this, I set up some IntelliScripts, some snippets. So snippets, we've added DSC with configuration data. We've added DSC local configuration manager, HTTP pull, or a simple push. How's that for awesome?
You added snippets in with the module that you made?
Yeah, so look at that. And then, yeah, is that cool?
I'm going to cry because he turned my stuff into, like, cool. It's just, like, amazing. And the snippets are really cool. That is really cool.
Yeah. So you've got remember the syntax for a local configuration configuration data. Are we going to talk about configuration data today or tomorrow?
The configuration data is
tomorrow, let me show you. Let me give you a quick thing. So basically, this is how you get some of the sophisticated stuff. We're going to talk tomorrow about sophisticated stuff. But one of the key things is you want to be able to do this configuration and separate the information for your development, your test, and your production environments. And so what you'll see is you'll set up a configuration data here. And this dev config, that's your configuration for dev. And then you pass that in to your configuration here. And here's a way that then refines it.
You know what? And I'm really looking forward to this because when we talk about credentials is when we were going to set up configuration data for it. And this will be a great enhancement to that, talking about the dev and all of that.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I can never remember the syntax for configuration data. You know, just a flaw. I just haven't done enough of them. So IntelliSense. IntelliSense is your friend.
See, it's so cool. I just love it. All right, so let's take a look. Let's bring up a couple things. First of all, I want to show you what I've given to you in the examples of being that I need to reset my LCM that we were using earlier. I'm going to reset the LCM for node S1. I'm going to set it to push. That's all I'm going to do. It was currently in a pull for HTTPS, so I'm just going to fire that out really quick and have him set. This configuration is probably starting to get pretty comfortable as far as the structure goes. That's for our LCM. And let's call up the file resource. And I've got an example here. And the file resource, this allows us, Jeffrey, to make sure we can copy files and folders. We can ensure that a folder exists. I kind of look at this as a way of, I want to get an installation package from here over to here. I need to make sure the files exist over there. They might be zipped and we'll deal with that, but I need to get it over there because once I get everything over there, I can do stuff to it. I can start a process or do whatever I want to do. So the file resource is a nice way to just kind of move files, zip files. And stuff.
Exactly.
So let's go ahead and move a zip file. What I've done is I've set up here for us a couple of things so that we could actually move a zip. Take a look at this. Now, again, just to remind you, IntelliSense is your friend. I'm going to click on the word file, hit control space, and it'll pop up and show me the things that I can do with this. Now, there's several attributes in here that we're not actually taking a look at, but there are some cool things that we can do. Ensure present type. I want it to be a directory. I'm going to force this in recursive so it'll create the directory structure. I'm going to copy something from a remote machine. This is a share path on that machine. And here's the destination on S1. Now, this is nice, but this is going to put that file out there. But there were some other settings in this file resource, and I'm just going to call it the IntelliSense, that could help us. Now, this puts that zip file out there, but it doesn't actually, let's say I change the zip file at the source.
Yeah.
All it's going to do is say, yeah, I still got the zip file. It doesn't know that it's actually been changed.
Yep.
So there's a couple of settings. It just went away, but there's a couple of settings in here that help us with that. And I'm trying to see if I can keep it up. Like checksum and can help us know what if the contents of the file gets changed. So if we have the file and the contents, this is like the checksum that we were doing with the configurations,
yep.
right? Can see if it's been changed. So if the source changes, then it knows I got to re-download this. So in my example, it's pretty simple, but you can actually get it to where if the source changes, it knows to change it on the destination.
Correct.
Okay, well, let's see if we can run this. So on S1, I've got this config, and I'm going to put it out. And I've done the start DSE configuration already in here. I'm going to have it wait verbose. Here's what I'm hoping to happen is that there will be a new folder created on S1 that has, if there were any zip files in this location, it has the zip files. Let's see if I get lucky. And if we take a look at the verbose here, it goes out and it'll tell us, oh, now it's saying the network name can't be found, so something might have gone wrong here with my network name. Let's see here. File directory is C, related network directory. Oh, no, it may have gotten it. Oh, it did. It got it.
It's saying that your directory wasn't found.
Wasn't found. Right. I started to freak out because I'm in a freak out mode of something going wrong. So it actually created it. Let's go verify that it did make it. So let's just do this. Let's do explorer S1 C dollar sign. And so we can see here on S1, there's that downloads folder and there's a zip file that we got from it. Nice, simple, easy to work with resource. Now, one of the things is that the file resource is easy to work with, easy to get files moved out. But now I've got these zip files out there. How do I get them unzipped? Well, there's a resource called the archive resource that'll unzip it. And I think there's an opportunity here. Maybe it wasn't here, but at some point there's an opportunity. Let me just show you the script and we'll see. Oh no, this one will just do the unzip for me. Later I did a zip the old-fashioned way, and we have new ways of doing zip now. So we want to show everybody, we got new ways of doing zip. Here's how we unzip it though. The archive zip can unzip stuff. I call this an unzip. Notice I put in destination. This is where I'm going to want it unzipped to. I've given it the path to look for where the zip file will be. It's checksum and to validate it and to force that it's going to unzip it. So think of it this way. I've taken a bunch of files in a zip. I've gotten them moved out to whatever my targets are. And now my targets are going to unzip them in the location that I want. That's actually pretty powerful starting point for a lot of different scenarios right there. So let's see if it works. Kick it out. And what we'll do is we'll jump out there real quick once again. It says, oh, yeah. So let's go out there real good. And I've got unzip, and it unzipped the files. Ta-da!
Hey,
I got an applause for production. I mean, come on.
Awesome. So would it make sense to show them it depends here? Because obviously that's not going to work if you don't have the zip file there. Or are you holding off?
I was holding off on the depends, but we're going to... He's bringing up a very... No, not those depends. Stop it. He's actually bringing up a very important, something called depends on that we're going to talk about today that is actually very important. And that's, we mentioned it earlier, controlling the sequence. If I had tried to unzip this file before it existed, that'd been bad. We can control that. So we'll get to that. A couple of other resources that we have out here is the environment variable resource. Now, I have to be honest with you. It took me a moment working with this environment variable. Now, you guys all know environment variables. We got path. You know, if you've been PowerShell, the module path, oh man, did I make a mistake and screw that one up once. We've got these environments variable settings, and you know from time to time you want to either change an existing one or create one. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a built-in resource that will let you do it, but and maybe you can help me with this. I got fooled by this at first because I wasn't paying attention. So let me just show you. I've got the environment resource, and it's pretty straightforward. If you click on it, the resource is called environment. Once again, you can call up the syntax for it. It's pretty straightforward. You can create it. Name, I'm going to create something called my new var. Now, if you just want to create the variable so that it gets stored later, that's fine. You don't have to give it a value. But in this case, I'm going to give it a value to store. We can call it whatever we want. And ensure that it's present. This isn't a difficult resource to work with, right?
Looks good, yeah.
Okay, then you have to explain why I had such a hard time with this, because here's what I did. I'm like, I created the environment variable. So I'm gonna do this, $env. It's not showing up.
Well, you're on the wrong machine.
Oh, no. Oh, well, sorry. No, I actually, look, I put this one on DC because I wanted to be on the right machine when I did this. It's not showing up, and I couldn't figure it out. But then I went, wait a minute.
Start the process, right?
Huh?
Got to start the process.
I think I have to, here's what I figured out, is that it means I've got to get out of this and open up another one. But here's what I figured out I could do. I could start process. I could call up the MS Info, the old.
Yeah.
And I could do this. And it shows that they're there. Oops, wait a minute. Software, is that where it is? Environment variables. Yeah. And...
It's right there.
Oh, yep. And there it is. One of the things, and I don't know...
What was the problem? So, I mean, when you set an environmental variable, it doesn't change the processes that exist. Processes only pick up their environmental variables when they start. So is that the problem?
No, the problem was I expected to see it here. Right?
Okay.
And I don't actually see it here.
Oh.
And that's why I kind of expected to see it here, and I wasn't too sure why and what I was doing, but I realized that it did get created. Now, if you do change something that exists here, like path,
yeah,
that shows up. But when I was doing the new ones, they didn't show up, and it was kind of weird. I'm just throwing it out. It's...
Okay.
It's a preview release, boys and girls. Okay.
So maybe that's a bug.
It could be.
I haven't tried that one, actually.
But they will be here. So I want you to know that I have in the scripts, if you are testing the environment variables, it does actually work. Don't think that it doesn't. And you can see it this way. If you are changing something that already exists, it does show up where you would expect it to in PowerShell. So it is working. Now, I thought this was going to be kind of cute and kind of fun, but you gave us user and group resources as well. One of the common IT tasks out there is I need to be able to add a user to a box, add a group to a box, add a user to a group on a box. Very common. Well, we have resources for those. And I'll bring this one up. I'm going to clear this down here. And we can create a user. Now, I am creating a user, a very simple user, and my password policy, before everybody starts yelling and screaming at the demo, yes, my password policy allows blank passwords. We're not going to talk about password encryption yet. So it allows blank passwords so I could easily make my user. If you take a look, I've got some basic property names. Working with users, you'll know this, the name of the user. I can give it a description, whether they're disabled, and what their password policy is for that.
Yep.
Okay, you have a look on your face like I'm gonna. So I'm gonna go ahead and see if I can create this test user. And it tells me that that was completed successfully. So I've got a user that's created. Now let's create a group and put them in a group. So we've got the group resource that we can use. Present, we're gonna create a group. And what I'm going to do is add members to that group. What a cool resource. Makes it really simple once you have the users. So now I can add them. And I'll run it, and I'll get the group and add them. And just to kind of prove it here, let's do this. Oh, what machine? I did it on S1. Oh, let's do this. Oops. Let me do this real quick for everybody to see it. So you can just see. We'll prove it real quick. And yes, I'm doing this the old-fashioned way.
I'll guess.
Oh, yes. I'm doing it the way that should not be done. Then why are you doing it that way? Well, because I wanted to kind of show this to you graphically, and I wanted to bring up so you can see them real quick. Computer management. And this is on the box I just created them, so we'll go down to users and groups. You'll see the users. There's the test.
Is it metaphysically possible to take more steps?
I know. Do you see how painful this is for you people that are new to PowerShell and you have to ask why? That's why. Look at what I have to go through, what I have to click through to make this happen. But I wanted you to see this graphically so you could kind of see that I got the group. I forgot what the name of the group. Oh, there it is.
Great
test group.
Was it?
Yeah, it was test group, and there's the user in the test group.
Test group, yep.
What a fantastic resource. Now, think about starting to combine some of these resources as a solution. I need to get a program out that I can install on a box that needs a user in a group for permissions to. So you already are starting to have resources available to you to start to solve some common tasks. We have a few other ones, but they start to get a little bit more complex and a little bit strange. As a matter of fact, I have a couple here. Let's see here what the next one on the list. Oh, we can log things. And this we had shown earlier, but I just want to show you, I have it again. This is, I'm going to use X Diagnostics, and this has a command in it. This is brand new. From what I can tell, and somebody that's one of the MVPs or one of the PowerShell team members that are in the chat can correct me on this, I did not see this commandlet till the February release. You used to have to do this with WinEvent something in an old Windows native command. Now we have a PowerShell command that'll turn on the analytic and debug logs so that you can have these logs set up. Now, I'm going to just do this real quick to make sure that they're all turned on. After we did them in the last module, I just want to make sure I got diagnostics out there. I'll import the module. And the reason I'm turning these on is because we have a resource that'll let you write things to the log, and these logs in particular. So you want to log some information as you're doing something. And let me call this up. I've got this script. And this is the log resource. And again, it's pretty simple. What do you want to put in there? And so,
pretty simple.
Yeah, as simple as it gets. This DSC config is working. So I'm going to fire this config at S1, and then we'll check the logs for S1. If you did not turn on the analytic and debug logs, you wouldn't see an entry for this. And so let me show you. I'm going to use get when event. Log name is going to be Microsoft Windows DSC analytic. And I'm going to ask for the oldest ones, computer name S1. And I'm grabbing a particular ID. I may have to change the ID, but let's see here what we get. That ID is just a general one. Let's see. Ah, and there's the log that I just said, this DSC config works.
Ooh-ha.
I know that people aren't very excited about the built-in ones, but the built-in ones actually give you some cool.
When you combine them together?
When you combine them together. Oh, makes me happy. Now I think it's time for the one that really, really screwed with my mind.
Which is?
This one. Or is this going to be this one right here? Oh, no, this wasn't it. Sorry. The one that screws with my mind is up here in a couple. Windows process is... All right, let me just show you Windows process. This won't screw with your mind. You're going to be just fine.
I say, how could that be?
Well, you know me.
Few neurons. Precious and few are the neurons.
Precious and few are the neurons. So take a look. This resource, Windows Process, you can probably guess by the name, this is going to allow you to launch processes on those remote machines. Aha. Something else to our puzzle of putting together a solution. So in this case, I'm just going to launch Notepad with no arguments and MS Paint and then show you that they worked. I know that it's not that thrilling, but add this to the puzzle of what you can do to start creating solutions with. Let's go ahead and run it, and we'll see if those processes got created. I'm going to go over here, and we're going to run get process against computer S1. Yes, I could have narrowed this down a little bit, but I want to look at the whole process list just to show you that Notepad and MS Paint. Well, there's MS Paint, and there's Notepad. There they are. There they're running. I know Notepad's not that impressive, but think. Taking a file, getting it deployed, starting things. This is logging. I know. Now, some of you are going to work with services from time to time, so of course.
By the way, you can say ensure equals absent.
You know what?
That's even more interesting.
That's even more interesting. Think about that. Ensure equals absent. So if somebody tries to start Paint
or Steam. You know what Steam is?
No, what's Steam?
Oh, you don't have kids. My boy is like fixated with Steam. He's at the computer playing games all the time. Love to just have a policy.
Oh, see, now actually, I like the way he thinks. Now, we could set process absent. Okay, that is something I'm going to play with now.
Yeah.
As far as it goes to process or to services, yes, we have a built-in for service, and I'm just going to show you that the audio service, I believe, is currently stopped. You can probably guess what I'm going to do. This was the demo we did at the very beginning of the show, which was setting a service to a different state. I'm going to change it to running, and I'm going to change its startup type to automatic, so I always get my audio wherever I go on my Windows server. How wrong is that? But you get the idea. I'm going to hit send out that config to S1. And again, the audio service already exists. The properties in order, audio service is now started. And we'll check it real quick. And yes, it's now running. So we got services, we got processes. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the ones that you've all been waiting for, the registry.
Yes.
My Lord, have I heard so much about people saying, I want to change something in the registry. And I've just said, tough. No, you can. You can. You can change stuff in the registry. And DSC is a great way to do it. Take a look. I've got a registry here. I'm doing a simple registry entry for this. Resource is called registry. I'm going to create a registry key. And I want you to notice the power of this is, I'm going to create something called DSC test right off of HKey Local Machine Software. value name data type. So I'm going to put a value in for it. So can we make registry changes in bulk to lots of machines? Oh, you better believe it, because it just went and did it. And I think I even have, I'm going to invoke so that we can prove that it is there on S1. And if you take a look down here, yep, it came up with that key that got created. DSC true, DSC test good. So everything is good. We've created registry entries and modify registry entries. Okay, so putting those resources together, see, I can send files out, I can unzip files, I can start processes, I can make registry changes, I can log events. There's a lot of IT Pro solutions right there in those resources. I know I said that, but there's a lot of solutions right there. Let your mind roll over these. And while I'm showing you right now these individually, Jeffrey already mentioned we can make a config with multiple ones of these in it. We'll even be able to control when certain things happen because we'll want to. This is the one that has blown my brain.
Which one? Where?
Script.
Oh, yeah.
Script.
There you go.
Now, on our resource roundup, guys, this is the last one of these resources, the built-in ones that we're going to take a look at. The script resource, when I first saw it, blew my mind because it has weird settings. But the weird settings are get, set, and test.
Yep.
And I'm going to show this to you guys. Get, set, and test. The concepts that we're going to talk about with this resource are going to pay off huge.
Huge.
Tomorrow when we're doing custom resources where we have get, set, and test. And we do things in classes with get, set, and test. So this concept is very important, and that's probably what my original stumbling block was. Let me...
one of these things is not like the other.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. So this is the escape hatch. This is the technique that you use when I don't have the resource I need and I just need to get something done very quickly. The script is your escape hatch.
The script is the escape hatch, and it has some interesting. I wanted to bring this up, and I'm not sure why I had it listed here. And we're going to. Let me take a look. Now I don't remember why I brought the MOF up for this resource. Oh, no, I don't remember why I brought the
MOF. Because MOFs are for cool people?
MOFs are for cool people.
Is that the reason?
I'm not into MOF, though, but yes, MOFs are for cool people. Well, let's go look at the script, and we'll talk about this concept. Again, we're going to just change the status of a service, but let's take a look here at what Jeffrey's talking about. So the script resource, if you don't have a resource that does what you want it to do, one of the ways that you can solve this, and I'm going to show you the IntelliSense for this, is you can create this, use this resource to have it go do what you want it to do. Yeah. So let's say I wanted to stop a service, start a service. I know we already have a resource for that, but just say that I'm doing something I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
This, when we start to look at its script, is confusing because just as we were singing the song about, we've got get script, set script, test script. This script has like three different sections in it.
Yes.
I'm not so sure what I'm going to do with all these three sections. Test, set. Wait a minute. When I'm sending out a DSC config, isn't the LCM starting with a test?
Yep.
And that test is to determine...
You're in the desired state.
And then set.
So it's a Boolean.
So test is Boolean.
Not.
True, false. Or yeah, you either are in state or not. So this could be like, I want to see if the service is stopped.
Yep.
Or what is the service state? And if stopped, you're in your state. Or if not stopped, you're not. Okay. So if test fails, then I move to set.
Set. Make it so.
If test is true, I don't do anything, right?
Correct.
So anytime we write stuff for test, we want it to run really fast, right? We want to make sure that that's running really fast. So if test is true, I don't do anything. If test is false and it fails, then I go and I do the set portion, which should make the change. What's get for?
Get is for getting.
Getting the current state, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so this resource, I have to create three sections. I got a test
for
it.
We haven't shown get configuration resource.
Get configuration.
Get DSC configuration.
Yeah.
So when we've done settings, so we say start DSC configuration. That's doing test and set. Okay, yeah. But there's another command, and that says, get me the DSC configuration. It goes to a machine and says, gets me all the state of everything and returns it to you.
Yeah, it returns the state, and it's not based upon whether it meets your configuration. It's just what it's currently doing.
Exactly.
So when we take a look at this script, what we're doing is the concept of we test first. If that fails, then we're going to set it. And we can always ask to check for the current state through a get. These are the components that we're going to be spending a lot of time with tomorrow, but you can start working with now in this particular resource. So take a look here. First of all, we've got get script. And let's go first to the first thing that we're going to do is the test. And in this case, I've got a variable. I'm going to check the bit status. And I'm going to see if the status is equal to running. This is going to return a Boolean, true or false. So if it's running, great. If it's not running, bad. And if you notice, what I'm going to do is in the set, this is where when a false is returned, we're going to do the set portion of the script. Notice I'm going to start the service. So I'm correcting that situation. So the next time that runs set, it should say running. Shouldn't need to go to the back to the set again. Test should didn't work. And if I want to check on what the current state of everything is, I'm basically taking the output from those so I can take a look at the bit status. Now, it seems to me real confusing at first doing this until I understood until it was explained to me how DSC was working. Test, 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 ooh, false. Now set, 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 you know, or set and then go back and test, test, test.
Yep.
And the get was only called when we did like get DSC configuration, which we'll do. So let's try this. Now, I know that I'm just doing a service, but imagine how far you can go with anything else that you don't already have a feature for with these blocks of code right here, these code blocks.
Oh, I can see why you got confused.
You can see why I got confused?
Yeah.
Are we back to that whole minus neuron thing?
Or nope. We'll talk about the role of schema and why it's great and sometimes a little bit confusing.
So I've sent this configuration out. Let's go ahead and I don't know if I had it written out here. Well, we'll just invoke and look at it, and then we'll do a get DSC configuration as well. So we'll take a look at it. You can see that the configuration went through. So it ran the test up here. He ran the test. So as you can see, he's right here in the script resource,
running
the test script. He had determined that it was not correct, so he was... Here's the performing the operation for the set, and then we're done. Now, I want to check.
Can I show you a trick?
Sure.
Go ahead and stop that process because we're going to, go ahead and stop it.
Stop the service?
Yeah, stop the service.
Okay.
We're going to run it. We're going to change the script.
No. Stop service bits.
And you need a computer name.
Whoops, that would help.
Yep. Okay, now go back to the script. And take your...
Whoops, now I lost the script. Where am I?
I don't know.
Ah.
Go to set. Yeah, start service. Say dash verbose. This is a good plan. Yep. Okay, now run it again.
Now let's run it. Dun, da, 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 da.
And you see...
Oh, we can now see... Ah, executing set test script. And it's doing a start service on the target.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned to you in the verbose channel, you get information from the LCM itself, or you can get it from the provider. You want to be chatty in your providers so that you know what's going on, if something what doesn't happen, et cetera. So it's always good to be writing verbose information.
I like that. Always having the verbose in, I'm thinking that that's going to be a nice favorite to always do so that we get it out here. Burp it out to the shell so I can see what's going on, then I can make decisions from there.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. So I think the concept of this, and a lot of people kind of, at least when it first came out, it seemed like a lot of people were overlooking this because of not understanding. They thought of a script resource, or they're just going to write straight inline script code and they would just do stuff. And it was, you had to understand how this was actually working, the test and the set and the get for that matter. And I think that was the initial confusing phase. But this concept that we're working with is what we're using all day tomorrow as we build upon this. Now that I've started to get a better understanding of this, this is where for me with DSC, when version 4 came out, now the possibilities started to become much more unlimited. So mm-hmm. I started doing configuration. Did I mention I was a web guy, by the way?
Yeah.
I started doing web server configurations beyond just the initial feature using this before we started getting custom resources. So this is a great avenue for an IT pro or a dev, for that matter, to start diving in before they get into the advanced stuff we do tomorrow.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, that was a... Everybody go. You notice I got a horse for this one, guys? Yee-haw! That was the resource roundup portion of this module. Yee-haw! I know it was quick, but start to play with those because you get an idea of what they can do. Now, this is great. What DSC shipped, or what PowerShell V4 and DSC shipped with, is actually very powerful. When somebody goes, oh, there's only 12. No, there were 12 really powerful ones that you can now start building great solutions on and gave you flexibility for solutions. But at that moment, and I can still remember, you could almost feel the shift when the PowerShell team went, okay, everybody's starting to use this now. We're going to start making resources.
Yep.
Additional resources. And we mentioned this, but I think it's worth, and I've got a slide for this, so the before the producer yells and screams that you can hear him back there. Adding additional resources locally. Yeah, he's so let me go back to my machine, and this is where we were talking about the res kit. And this is another one of those things I just wanted to show quick graphically, and then maybe you can let me go out to, where did I put that resource kit? Guys, if you download the resource kit, if you have V4 or if you have V5 and you're using find module, install module, we're currently at ResKit 9. Now, where did I get the ResKit 9? I showed this morning, but let me just show it to you again really quick. I'm going to open up Explorer. I'm going to go to my favorite search engine. And actually, I'll just type it in up here at the top. The PowerShell team blog is a great place to go to check for these. You also can use under WMF5, the February release, you can also use find-module. You can also go out to the PowerShell gallery website. I'm going to go out to the team blog, and what you'll see somewhere listed down in here is resource. Oh, look at that.
I was going to say.
How did I miss that?
I was wondering why you were using 9. Why are you using 9?
Because I thought that was...
You blinked.
Well, I more than blinked. It says it's 11. They're lying. It's not 11 days old. I was just out here. This is one of your challenges. This is how fast
they're
developing resources. I'm going to show you the whole list, but this is a great example of how fast they're doing it. I just got ResKit 9. I got it here for you. And look what they have.
10.
ResKit 10. And let's go see ResKit 10 real quick because...
Let's there see. Was some good stuff in 10.
Oh, I'm sure there's wonderful stuff in 10.
Yeah.
This means we're up to a total of 100.
Make it bigger. People can't read that.
Oh, yeah, I can't read that. Let me bring this up so we're up to...
It's Control Plus, my friend. Control Plus.
Yeah, what is it with me and wanting to click on stuff? Why is that happening to me in front of you? So, this means we're up to around 180 resources.
180.
Oh, man.
Is that crazy?
Isn't that amazing? 180 resources. So, you can go out here and download this or install Windows. What it's going to look like when you get it is it's going to look like...
See that? We got resources for disks. Disk, wait for disk, OUs, release management.
Release management.
That's that cool stuff.
We're on your screen, so this is great. So release management, what's release management?
That's the Visual Studio release management tools.
Oh,
so you know, by the way, so when you go take a look at the resource pack, you're gonna see some crazy cool stuff because it's not like this low level like registry key and here's the bit on the screen. You know, you can change it to blue. You know, it's not that. You're gonna see stuff like Exchange, SharePoint. You'll see things for System Center, very large things that you want. Like, oh, I want. OM over there, and I want this over there, and you know SQL.
Well, and I know I think you're bringing up. Here's the best part. Is that, and I want to show you a couple of quick examples. Is that,
ooh,
these resources aren't just the low-lying kind of stuff, moving and copying a file. Those are valuable. We need those. But now things like, and I have to tell you, one of the greatest things I've seen is mind-blowing, is I want to configure an entire highly available on-premises Exchange environment and be able to snap my fingers and have it completely configured in desired state. That's in here. You know what else is in here? But boom, but cha-boom, we got a boom.
We blew your mind.
You blew my mind. We blew your mind. I want to show you a couple of other things in here that are going to be kind of shocking and surprising.
Yeah.
So take a look at my screen right here. I just called up Find Module Name with the X's, Active Directory, ADCS. Hey, we were talking about PKI earlier. Ooh. Azure. You know, this is what I would expect. BitBlocker, that kind of. Here's something I don't expect. What? You Microsoft Resources, Chrome.
There you
Chrome,
go,
Chrome, Chrome, Chrome. This isn't the same Microsoft you may have grown up with. Okay, they're supporting cross-platform. It's heterogeneous. It's about your business. It's about what you need to do. It's amazing. Go back to my screen. I got more. DHCP, and here's those new disk ones. That's fantastic. DNS, things that you would kind of expect. There you see Exchange. What, that's big stuff. Firefox? Seriously? I got it. Yeah, you might have Firefox. You're going to want to know more about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to want to know. It's not your father's Microsoft. You're going to want to know more about this. You'll notice if you take a look at my screen, Gia is something that is very important. MySQL, if you got to do that.
Some smart guy wrote that.
You know what's funny is, I think I've met the guy that wrote the JIT Gia stuff. The just, is it just too much administration? No, it's just enough administration. Yeah. Nope. This is the stopping of the Snowden world people thingies. So you need to explore these resources out here because of the things that they can do. Using the same techniques that we've been doing, the IntelliSense and the different types of using IntelliSense and using the dash syntax on it, you can start to explore these modules of all of these resources. And you can tell we've got all the System Center products in here and how fast they're growing. And wait a minute, he's got one of the. So it's an amazing list of resources.
What?
You should start working with these.
You okay?
Huh? What? Yeah, no. Yeah, okay. So what do you want to say about resources? Because then we got to tell them about the pull server stuff.
Yeah, no, there's some great stuff. WordPress.
WordPress is out here.
Azure is particularly interesting. So what you can do with Azure, you give it your Azure subscription, and then all of a sudden you can say, hey, create me a VM. Create me a bunch of VMs. And then what you can do is we have direct integration of desired state configuration. I don't know if you know this. We have direct integration of desired state configuration with Azure. So wait, so this is going to be an inception moment.
Okay.
So what you do is you use desired state configuration.
Got it.
And you say, I want to create a VM.
Okay.
And as you configure that VM, you say, I would like to configure a desired state configuration resource for that VM.
Okay.
So when Azure starts up the VM, so you create a configuration, when you say make it so, it goes and talks to Azure. Azure then creates the VM, and part of creating the VM contains a desired state configuration document to go configure the VM.
Oh, so you're kind of making, if I got this right, you're kind of making a VM with a configuration is kind of like, this is my model now, Azure, go make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only, but start to think about this. You've heard the term elastic scaling and stuff like that and being able to move on demand for customer needs, all kinds of business agility type of needs. Now look at your capabilities with these resources, being able to do just that and think about the ability to be able to do it with a configuration already in place as it's going out. That's pretty amazing. That's just amazing stuff. DSC is a platform, but it's obviously, taking over the world. Good, I like that. These are resources. Now, you want these resources? Where are you going to put these resources? I mentioned you're going to put them in that program files, Windows PowerShell modules folder. If you want them on a pull server, where am I going to put them on a pull? Wait a minute. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. The guy's going to yell at me. Wait a minute. Guy's going to, wrong button. See, this is why I shouldn't be allowed to touch buttons. Wrong slide. There it goes. Resources on a pull server. If I want these resources on a pull server, what am I going to do?
Put them on the pull server.
Stop scaring the distinguished engineer, man.
It's like, dude, it's not that hard. You just put them on the Pulse server. That's one of the glories of the Pulse server. Okay. So again, remember we talked about this issue of I'm here on my machine and I'm editing. Now I'm then going to want to say, there's the world I want over there, and well, how do you get the code over there? Now, before we showed you how, okay, well, the code's not there, so you get an error. So you copy the code over. And remember, I told you, there's a better way to do it. The better way to do it? The Pulse server. So here's the way it works, because this is my all-time favorite idea. I mean, it really is. I just love it. We all know about virtual memory. How does virtual memory work, right? Oh, well, virtual memory says I have virtual memory. And when I go and I access a page, it's either there or it's not there. And when it's not there, it will go get it from the disk, okay, and allocate it and then manages it. So it makes you look like you've got much more memory than you actually have. Because when you go get it, it then brings it in for you. It page faults it in. It faults the page in. You have a fault on a page access, and it brings it in just when you need it. We're applying the same concept to providers. So as part of the configuration pull configuration, what I say is, hey, and when you need a provider, here's where you get it, from the Pulse server. So now I go and I say, here's the way the world ought to be. Okay. Now in this, I'm including things this guy's never, ever, ever heard of. And so the LCM gets this document and says, okay, file. And it has file, so it goes and says, make it so. Then it sees something else and says, oh, do I have a WMI provider for that? No. Do I have a PowerShell provider for that? Yes. So it calls the PowerShell provider for that. Then it sees another thing and says, oh, do I have a WMI provider for that? No. Do I have a PowerShell provider for that? No. Oh, am I configured to page fault from a Pulse server? Yes. So it goes to the Pulse server and says, hey, you got some PowerShell code for that thing? It says, yep, here it is. It installs it, and then it calls it. So effectively, you're page faulting in the management server. So gone are the days where it's like, okay, get this here and that there, and get this version here and that version there, et cetera. You use it, and by using it, it page faults in the management agent. See, it's just gorgeous.
So the beautiful answer to this is, where do we put all these resources? We put them on the Pulse server. When your targets need them, they'll ask for them, and they'll just get pulled right on over.
Yeah.
And the wonderful part of this is, I think when DSC first came out, the big deal was, I'm going to be deploying all these resources every time I get a new resource. And the answer is, no, you won't be. This will happen for you. You just put them on the Pulse server in that modules folder, and life is all good. Now, we're going to show you another way with custom resources in the advanced MVA that we're doing on DSC. That's a little bit different, but these, nice and simple, your machines will be able to pick them up. So how much better can you possibly ask? You know what, the memory analogy, I hadn't thought about that, but was that the inspiration or?
Yeah, and this is the way we used to do it at Tivoli. Tivoli was a very large scale out system, and that's exactly how we did it there.
Oh, awesome, see, yeah. Another one of those things. Hey folks, we've come up to the end of another month. I hope you've enjoyed the resource roundup and seeing that there's a whole bunch of power right in the box, but now you can also see how fast and furious and grand a lot of those resources are. Download those resources, start to work with those resources. If you have a pull environment, put them on your pull server, you can use those resources. The world's really starting to become very easy for you to take charge of. Now, when we come back, I don't know. I forgot what we're doing when we come back, but I know that Linux at some point today, so.
Oh yeah, that's pretty crazy cool.
Yo boy.
Because remember, it's standards based. Why are we standards based? Because we want to manage everything.
So I'll see you back in a few minutes.